Let us bow our heads in our weekly congregational prayer. Father God, we thank you that we may come together on this beautiful Pentecost morning as your people to praise you, to give thanks to you, and to bring our petitions before you. We praise your holy name, Father, Son, and Spirit, for who you always have been, for who you are today, and for who you always will be, eternal, holy, almighty, loving, faithful, gracious, beautiful. We just don't have enough adjectives to describe you in full, but your Spirit will complete our thoughts. You continue to show us your goodness and grace by giving us life every day again, by providing us with all the necessities of life and then some, by providing sunshine and rain, summer and winter, and above all, by calling us your children and wanting to be our Heavenly Father. How can we possibly thank you enough? Please help us to live our lives in such a way that they may be an offering to you, fragrant and pleasing to you. We thank you that we may remember and celebrate today the outpouring of your Spirit so many years ago, and that you were faithful to your promises to do so. We thank you for the blessing of continuing the offices in this church by allowing us to witness and pray over the new office bearers who were installed this morning. We thank you for moving the hearts of these men to step up to serve your people here at Langley Emmanuel. We thank you also that we could remember this past week that 75 years ago, the D-Day invasion could take place to start the liberation of Europe from its Nazi occupation, a fact that changed the course of history by its success, which undoubtedly was blessed by you. And we thank you for the freedom we may enjoy living in this beautiful country, Canada, the freedom to live our lives for your glory, to worship you without hindrance, and for not having to live in fear or hunger. On the contrary, most of us in this country are living in very comfortable conditions, if not in a lap of luxury. Help us to not abuse our freedoms and comfort, and move us to help those who are less fortunate, the homeless, the poor, the marginalized in our communities, and allow us to show them your love by feeding them, clothing them, and get them the help they need, especially when there is mental disability. Stir our hearts to help when the calls go out for volunteers at the Gateway of Hope, as well as other places where they need people to give a helping hand. Father, we also think about the places in this world where your people are not welcome to serve you, where they are being persecuted, imprisoned, and even killed for wanting to love you and to follow you. Please show us ways where we can be of help in those kinds of situations so that solutions may be found, political or otherwise, to relieve the suffering of those people. We also see so many people being displaced throughout this world because of vicious dictators making life unbearable in some of these places. Again, they all need you to show them mercy and grace so that they may yet find a way to live in peace with one another. Father, we pray over our governments, federal, provincial, municipal, that they may rule over us justly and fairly, that they may, as individuals, recognize you as the ruler in chief and act and speak with integrity, looking out for the greater good of this land so that your name may be honored. We pray for teachers and students at the school as the school season is drawing to a close and tests and exams are the order of the day, that they may be focused on the lessons to be learned at school and in life. We pray for parents, especially those with small children, who are extremely busy with them and the juggling that needs to happen to get everything done every day again. Grant them the patience and the endurance to deal with that, and yet give them the time to reflect on you and the blessings that they enjoy. We pray for marriages in our community, that they may endure and grow in maturity, and especially when the pressures and stresses of life are putting a heavy strain on those relationships. We ask you to help those who are struggling with those relationships and provide ways for healing, possibly through professional help. We pray for the youth and the young people in this church, especially as some of them are graduating, that they may remain faithful to you, even as they may be struggling with finding employment or deciding to study and choosing which courses to take. Please calm their hearts and learn to trust you in these matters. We pray for those who are struggling with health issues, both long-term and acute. And our thoughts, again, go to Dave and his family as they deal with the results of his ALS. We think of Emma as she continues to deal with her debilitating depression. We ask for continued healing in the life of Reverend Wong as he is planning to once again start the Korean church he had to stop because of his injuries. And we think of others in a time of silence who we may know are struggling with ongoing health concerns. We pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones. We pray especially for the Hummelman, Schaap, and Spoor families who lost a mother and grandmother this past week. We ask you to give them comfort and strength to deal with their grief, even as they know she went to be with you, her Lord and Savior. We pray that you will bless our church with a new pastor in due time. And we ask that you empower the search committee with your spirit to guide them towards the pastor you want us to have. Continue to bless counsel, both elders and deacons, with wisdom, insight, and compassion as they provide leadership in this church. We pray for all the staff and volunteers who continue to do the work to keep this church running, that they may not grow weary of doing your work. We pray over the General Synod of the CRC in North America, which is scheduled to start this coming Friday in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Grant the delegates your wisdom in making decisions for the churches in general that they are true to your word, and give them the courage to be faithful to you. And we ask you that you will bless Pastor Tom as he brings us your word this morning. Give him a rich measure of your spirit to speak your truth clearly and boldly. And we ask all these things in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus, in whom we are bound together by the Holy Spirit, and who taught us to pray, and please pray with me, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Please join with me in reading from Acts chapter 2, where we'll read the first 12 verses. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Dear people of God, amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" And now you can ask that question in two different kinds of ways, at least two different ways. What does this mean in terms of, what am I looking at here? What's going on? How does this all fit with everything that's gone on? What's going on here? And another way it can mean is, what does this mean for me? How is this affecting me? What's this going to do to me? What's it asking of me? How will I have to change because of what is going on here? Now, those pilgrims in Jerusalem were asking the first kind of question. What does this mean? What's going on? They hear things. This is not supposed to be happening. We're supposed to be here for a first fruits celebration. The harvest is coming in. We're getting some crops off the field, and it's time to gather in Jerusalem, and we're going to bring our first fruits to God, and we're going to have a celebration. We're going to the temple. We're singing songs. We're having a good, fun time. It's one of the joyful feasts of God's people, Pentecost. But here we're coming along, and we hear people speaking in different languages. We hear these Galileans speaking in different tongues. And we hear a loud noise, and we hear this rushing wind. And what is going on? How does this all fit? This public spectacle was something beyond the ordinary. It had never happened before. What does this mean? Well, they asked that question. And what did they see? To answer that question, what did they see? They saw a fellowship. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They saw these followers of Jesus who had been gathered in Jerusalem. Jesus had said to them, "Go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes." And so they did. They went to Jerusalem and they waited. They didn't know what to expect, but they trusted Jesus. And there they were, this huddled group. They were fearful of all the things that were visited upon Jesus, maybe being visited upon them as well. They waited, they prayed, they read scripture, they encouraged each other, they selected another leader, someone to take the place of Judas Iscariot. They chose Matthias. But mostly they huddled close together in eager expectation as a fellowship. And it was upon this fellowship that the Holy Spirit came. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This group of faithful followers of Jesus had waited, and they were rewarded with what Jesus had promised. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. It changed them from being a quiet, timid, scared fellowship, kind of trying to stay under the radar, to being a bold group who were able to stand up in front of thousands of people. Which leads us to the second thing that answers the question of what does this mean? It means a witnessing fellowship. When the Spirit blew upon the fellowship of believers, they were moved to start speaking about the wonderful wonders of God. How is it that we hear them speaking about the wonders of God? So they were telling the wonders of God. They put up such a racket all at once that they drew a crowd, and people from all over the world came leaning through the doors and said, "Hey, what's going on here?" Parthians stuck their head in the door expecting to see other Parthians. "Hey, there's some, maybe they're my kinfolk." And Libyans look for a fellow Libyans, and you know, the same kind of thing. You want to make connections. But instead, they saw was a bunch of Galileans, rural types from way up north, backwater province, dressed in the first century equivalent of overalls. All of them going about the wonders of God as if they were, you know, PhDs in theology and linguists who were fluent in Middle Eastern languages. And then they heard Peter explain what was happening. Peter stands up and says, "You know what is going on here? Let me tell you what's going on here." And his whole speech is about Jesus, not about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't, you know, he does talk about the Holy Spirit. This is what was promised through the prophet Joel. Your old men will dream dreams and young people see visions. And even upon, you know, men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. You know, and then he launches into this long speech, not about the Spirit, but about Jesus. About what happened to Jesus and what God did with Jesus and where he was, where Jesus is. And that's really important to notice, because when the Spirit comes, he moves the disciples to witness not about the Spirit. He moves them to witness not about, "Hey, look at me." He moves them to speak about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is like a floodlight that shines on Jesus. The Spirit enables them to speak boldly about Jesus. And then those bewildered pilgrims in Jerusalem were asking, "What does this mean?" Well, it means a joyful witnessing fellowship. When the Spirit came, the disciples were on their feet. They were joyfully speaking about the wonders of God. How can you not be joyful when you're speaking about the wonders of God, about what God has done for you, what Jesus has done for you? And these people were so joyful. The more cynical in the crowd confused it with drunkenness. "These people must be drunk," they said. And they started laughing. "They're way too merry. They're having way too much fun. This is not normal. You don't have a right to be this happy." And in fact, they were. But they weren't drunk on the spirits that come out of a bottle or a wineskin. They were drunk on the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had entered into their lives with such power and such aliveness, they could not help themselves. They had to express in a joyful tone. And those pilgrims also experienced, and they saw in front of them, a powerful, joyful witnessing fellowship. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus promised the disciples, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And Jesus was true to his promise. The Spirit came with power. And what drew the people to the place was a sound of a rushing wind. What drew them there was the sound of people speaking in languages they did not know. And the Spirit came with power to change people. He changed these rural fisher folk into ministers, into preachers. And he moves their tongues to speak languages they had never studied. Disciples who had never dreamed themselves capable of doing these things discovered abilities within themselves they had never known they had. And when they opened their mouths to speak, they spoke the truth of Jesus. When they laid their hands on the sick, it was as if Jesus was there, reaching out to the world through them. And they started doing things they had no one else but seen, and seen no one else but Jesus do. As Barbara Brown Taylor puts it, the Holy Spirit had entered into them the same way it had entered into Mary, the mother of Jesus. And for the same reason, it was time to be born again. And no one, or and not one in one body this time, but in a body of believers who would receive the breath of life from God and pass it on, using their own bodies to distribute the gift. And the Holy Spirit came with power to draw people in, adding 3,000 people, 3,000 new believers to their numbers that day. The new humanity of Christ was growing with people from every nation, every tongue, and there's power in this gospel. That power comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit wings the words and lands them onto many hearts. So what does this mean? What are we looking at here? Those perplexed people in Jerusalem met with a powerful, joyful, witnessing fellowship. What does this mean? They saw the church, of course. They were experiencing the birthday of the church. Pentecost is a celebration of that birthday of the church, where the gathering of the people of God from all races and languages was started this day so many years ago. The church of Jesus Christ is born. And now we need to ask that further question. What does this mean for me? What does this mean, you know, today? What did it mean for the puzzled pilgrims? What does it mean for you and me that, you know, this happened? Well, what does it mean for me? It means you're invited into a fellowship. The church still gathers in the presence of God to worship His holy name, to read Scripture, to pray, to encourage one another. We are gathered into a fellowship where Christ is the center. We still share our lives with each other. We still encourage each other, and we still help each other in the way of Christ. The church is still a place where healing and acceptance and discipline and forgiveness take place. And in a time where people are leaving, in a time where we wonder, why, what's going on? How come people aren't accepting the gospel anymore? We are still being invited in. We are still the community, the new community that's pictured in Scripture as the body of Christ, the new temple, the building that's being built with Jesus at the cornerstone. The Spirit is tugging at you. Do not resist that Spirit to draw you into His people. And it also means you're called to join the witness of the fellowship. In your words, in your actions, you're called to witness to the hope that's within you in Jesus Christ. Today we remember the witness of the church. Today we gave an offering for the King's University, which is witnessing to the world of academia that the world was created by God and the world belongs to God, and we study the world with that good news at the center of all that we do. Today we remember the mission of the church to the ends of the earth to bring the message Jesus saves. 2,000 years after Pentecost, we still present to our world the promises held out in the gospel. Will you join that mission? Will you be part of what the church is about? It also means, oh, where are we? Lost it. Okay. We're going to leave it there. Okay. It means that you can expect to be joyful. It means that you can expect to have something in your heart that replaces the emptiness that the world can give. Throughout the world, Christians gather together and find joy in the Lord because their deepest longings are filled in Christ. Their guilt is lifted away. Their shame is taken away. The Spirit comes in and convinces us that we are children of God. Isn't that the most joyful thing that you have ever heard in your life? That you are a child of God. And I have a new identity that no one can take away. I am beloved. I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And this Holy Spirit makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. There is joy. And we go through everything. We go through all the emotions and you know, we go through all the stuff of life, and yet the Spirit is placing in us a joy in believing in this gospel. And you're also part of something powerful. The power of the Spirit has not waned since the day he came to Jerusalem. His power continues to be seen in the world. He still takes people. He still takes them and places them within the new humanity in Christ, and he daily adds to the number of the followers of Christ, even here on the West Coast. You know, here we are on the left coast of Canada. You know, it's a pretty secular place. It's hard ground, actually, for the gospel. And he's continuing to draw people who are far from God closer to God. People are still curious. You might think, oh, I'm just a church member. I just go to Langley Emmanuel Christian Reformed Church. But there are people who are interested in that. There are people who say, oh, why would you do that? Tell me more. There are people who are tired of their old ways, and they're looking for something new. Despite the rise in the new atheism that's about these days, people are still drawn in by stories. You know, we had a young man come to Fleetwood Church. He was raised nominally Muslim, and he came to our Christianity Explored class a few years ago. And you know, in that class, we read through the book of Mark, and we explain who Jesus is. It's all about who is Jesus. And when he read about Jesus and heard about Jesus, he was drawn. He just said, something about Jesus was beautiful to me. And he found himself believing in Jesus. He was baptized. We had a woman come to us who had been with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and she was tired of all the pressure, all the rules, and she needed some help. So our deacons helped her, and our congregation accepted her and loved her, and she was also baptized. And we're just an average church in Surrey. We're not this mega church and, you know, got branding and all that kind of stuff. It's just us. You know, we're just the average church in Surrey. And you're just like us. We're sister churches, right? But the thing is, it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit working powerfully among us. And he's also working powerfully among you. Open yourself up to the power of his Holy Spirit. So what does this mean? The birthday of the church invites us to recognize and celebrate this powerful, joyful witnessing fellowship. And it means you're invited into this body. And as we move to the table of the Lord's Supper, it calls us to join in unity, in faith, in commitment to being the Church of Christ here and in Langley. And as we go into the Lord's Supper, know that Pentecost means that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit means Christ wants you to be here around this table with these people, with this message of Christ loving this world. And he wants you to be part of this living, growing, joyful body of Christ, the church. We remember that at his baptism by John, the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus with God's blessing. And there was a voice that said, "This is my Son, whom I love." And in the wilderness of temptation, God's Spirit stood by Christ with power. In Jesus' life and ministry, the Holy Spirit led him to serve the poor, proclaim freedom from sin's bondage, open the eyes with faith's sight, and befriend the friendless and outcast. In all Jesus did and said, he announced the coming of God's saving might. By his death on the cross and his resurrection, he broke the power of death and led the way to eternal life. He ascended to rule on high, where he prays for us, where he promises the coming of peace and power, and he has sent his Spirit among us. So let us pray. Wind of God, blow far from us all dark despair, all deep distress, all sinful desire, all selfish wishes, all wasteful worries. Wind of God, blow into us your holy presence, your living love, your healing touch, your perfect peace, your caring concern, your divine grace. Pour your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we may know your presence in the sharing of this bread. Make us one in Christ, one with each other, and one with you in a single, holy, living sacrifice. Amen.